Hey, it's Alex Cora. The WEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon has now helped raise over $50 million for Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund, thanks to listeners like you. Please help us reach our ultimate goal of striking out cancer in kids. To make a gift, please visit WEI.com/JimmyFund.
Well, we're back at Fenway Park, and our host is here with us, the president and CEO of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy. Thanks for allowing us into your place of business here for these 2 days, Sam. Good to see you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all you've been doing the last couple of days. These are two of the most important days of the year. I really appreciate all the support of the station and Nesson and everyone who's called in so far to donate. Just a special time, and it really puts everything in perspective for all of us.
Well, I mean, the Red Sox relationship with the Jimmy Fund is unique, I think, in sports. I don't know. I don't know if there is a longer standing relationship between a team and a specific charitable organization.
No, you got that right. It's nearly 70 years now, and we've been a part of it for 18 years. When we came in the winter of 2001, 2002, one of the first things that John Henry and Tom Werner and Larry Lucchino did was sort of double down on the partnership between the Dana-Farber and the Red Sox, and it's really in the sort of DNA of our front office and our players, and it drives us to be better. Dana-Farber's right down the street, and we've all had so many friends and family and teammates treated there, and it's just people come from all over the world, and we're literally a couple blocks away, and we get to work with the folks at the Dana-Farber every day. Dr. Glimpscher and Lisa Sherber and Lee Nadler, the whole crew. It's just been a great seven decades long relationship, and I know it'll keep going forevermore. So we're really fortunate to be a part of it.
I don't know if you heard Jonathan and Robert Kraft earlier.
I did, yes. It's so great. We were talking the way the sports community comes together.
Well, I mean, yeah, and, you know, and they were talking about, you know, putting it in players' contracts that you have to be part of things. I don't feel like, you know, I heard Brock Holt yesterday afternoon talking about being the Jimmy Fund captain, and you know, Brock was talking about it's not about baseball, it's not what they do, it's about this opportunity to be a part of these patients' lives at maybe, you know, the biggest fight of their life. And it doesn't seem like you have to put it in guys' contracts. It seems like your guys, to a man, want to be involved in Jimmy Fund stuff.
They do. And you know, we go back to the Pedro David days and Manny and all the great teams of the early 2000s, and the tradition has just sort of continued on to Johnny Lester and now Brock Holt and Rick Porcello and all of our guys who are just so involved with the Dana-Farber. I do want to say a word about Brock Holt, because I don't think this guy gets enough credit for what he's done here. He is so authentic and genuine and deeply, deeply involved, and he cares about these kids at the Dana-Farber. He's got real relationships. He goes there. He spends time there. And identifying him as the Jimmy Fund captain has been one of the best things we've done in the 18 years, because he's so into this, and he's such a caring, incredible person, and we're just really appreciative of Brock and everything he's done.
Now, I want to know if you stand by your statement on this show 3 weeks ago, which I think was sometimes doing nothing is the I'm paraphrasing here.
Sometimes the best deals you make are the ones that you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still stand by that?
Yeah, well, there's an old saying, I think, nothing is sometimes a good thing to do, but always a brilliant thing to say. So maybe I just shouldn't say anything following that soundbite. But no, look, we're in a tough spot. I mean, I think 127 games in, we've got 35 games left to go. We all know where we're at. Last year at this time, we'd won close to 90 games, and it just felt like every single night we found a way to win. This year it's been difficult. I do stand by our conversation when we got together the last time, which is we're in a really, really important position with these sports teams, where you have to balance the short term and the long term, and that's, you know, the decisions that we make sometimes aren't as popular in the immediate near term, because you're trying to balance long term goals as well, and it's hard, because if you go back to when the Kraft family brought us our our first Super Bowl in 2001 when we arrived here. That sort of ushered in this new era, which set a pretty high bar, which is sort of championship or bust. And that's why you want to be in Boston. It's the best Buy Mountain. Yeah. You know, again, I grew up down the street. There's nowhere you want to be if you're in professional sports other than Boston, because our fans are so passionate and they care. So anything short of a championship is tough to swallow. And, you know, that's not the way it was when we were growing up here.
No,
it was not the mindset, not the mentality. So credit to the Kraft family and the Jacobs family and Wick and Steve and John Henry and Tom Werner for ushering in that new culture. What goes along with that new culture is when you don't have a world championship every single season, you fall short of expectations. And where we are right now, look, I'll tell you, there is no quit in that clubhouse. We've been dealt a tough blow with Chris Sale going on the IL.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that.
And being in a position where, look, we're six games back of that second wild card. It's not. We're not mathematically eliminated. We can still get there. Crazier things have happened. Believe me, I've been a part of this team for 18 years. 2011, I didn't think we were going to lose 20 out of 27 games down the stretch to miss the playoffs. So anything, as our friend Kevin Garnett said, anything is possible. We can certainly get back into this. I was being cheered up by watching Tom Caron last night, who said, look, just pick up a game every week. You know, we got six weeks left, pick up a game. Alex Cora said it well. Let's make those Tampa games matter at the end of the year. And you get into the tournament at the end of the year, and anything can happen. So these guys aren't giving up. They're a resilient bunch. We've got a lot of talent in that clubhouse, and we're going to keep grinding away. Chris Sale said it. We've got to keep grinding and grinding, and we'll see what happens.
When what happens with Sale happens, does that give you pause on the deal that you did with him?
No, not at all, because you know, this is a guy who you want to build around. This is a guy who represents everything you want in a member of the Boston Red Sox. He's tough. He's accountable. He's experienced. He's a World Series champion. Injuries are part of the game. He's got inflammation in the elbow, which is never a good thing when it comes to a pitcher. But as he said, it could have been a lot worse, and so we'll stay optimistic. Mystic and hope that it continues to heal and get better, and he'll be able to come back. And you know, everybody is sort of writing off 2019 for him. You never know what might happen. Let's see how he feels in 4 or 5 weeks and go from there.
Mookie was on this station yesterday afternoon talking about how he loves Boston and it's his second home. Do you feel like that? You know, that statement maybe answers some questions about where you guys are with Mookie. Does it give you a better chance of trying to lock him down? You know, anything happen on that since we spoke last?
Well, we're so fortunate, or unfortunate as the case may be, that we all sort of live together for 6-7 months a year. We travel together. We're at spring training together. We're here at Fenway together. So none of that's a surprise. I mean, we've spent a lot of time with Mookie and his family, and we know exactly how Mookie feels about Boston, how he feels about playing at Fenway Park. He loves it here, and we love Mookie playing here. He's been an incredible member of the Red Sox, and we've been very open that we'd love him to be here for the long term. We just have to make sure you strike that balance where it works for the team and it works for Mookie. And he's the kind of guy that you want. But he's a homegrown guy. He's drafted incredibly in the fifth round. Think about that.
Yeah.
Teams passed on him many, 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 many times. That shows you how difficult it is in this sport to evaluate talent at the amateur level. But no, we'd like Mookie here for the long term. We don't talk publicly about negotiations, but we've expressed and professed our love for him and his
write
family.
A check.
And
write him a check.
Well,
Sam.
Today the checks
Sam,
are for the Jimmy fund.
I know, right? But write him a check. Like, give him a blank check, Sam Kennedy. Give Mookie a blank check.
I hear that feedback. Do you have any other suggestions for the Red Sox?
Well, no,
blank
I will say,
checks typically
listen,
don't
blank checks don't happen.
Don't always work, but sometimes they do.
But speaking of homegrown, I mean, you have a legit MVP candidate that came through this farm system, which we should talk a little bit about.
Yeah, I mean, what Rafael Devers is doing this year is nothing short of remarkable. And when we were spending time with David Ortiz post-shooting, which was just horrific and still hard to believe he's gone through that. I want everyone to know David's doing really, really well. well, recovering well, but we spent some time with him, that he will not stop talking about Rafi Devers and how incredible this kid is. And he's been such a fan of his. He's known him for a long, long time. And so what he's been doing is just nothing short of remarkable, and just a credit to our international scouting operation and everyone, Eddie Romero on down, who have identified players like Rafael Devers, like Xander Bogaerts, like Christian Vasquez, to come into this organization and really grow up in the organization. That's a model for success that has helped us win four championships and hopefully more.
Now, Devers, would this be somebody, you got Xander done, now Mookie's coming down the line, and it who knows what's going to happen, but with a Devers, would there be an impetus for you guys to maybe try and get in early? Like, you've seen the power, you've seen the numbers, he likes playing here, the fans are loving him. Would this be something where you'd try and get a deal done early, maybe a preemptive deal with Devers?
Yeah, for sure. Drafting or signing young players, whether if they're international or they're part of the domestic draft, and then they grow up in your organization, you'd love to try and extend players that are a part of your homegrown operation. So for sure, Rafael Devers is someone we'd love to talk about having become a member of the Red Sox for the long term.
Sure.
The hard part is in our business is you can't sign all of your players that you like, and sometimes we make really, really good decisions, and sometimes we make really, really bad decisions. Hopefully, at the end of the Henry Werner stewardship of the Boston Red Sox, when the history books are written 20, 30, 40 years from now, hopefully people will look back and say, this group, this organization made more right decisions than wrong decisions. And that's on us to identify which players you want to sign up for the long term. But of course, Devers falls into that category. He's just been incredible. And the amazing thing about him is he just seems to be getting better and better. And his defense has improved. I mean, literally from April and May to now, it's just been remarkable, the difference. So it's great to see, and a credit to our player development folks, our baseball operations folks. Those of us in ownership and management get absolutely no credit for that. We thank our scouts and the people that work with the players day in and day out to help them improve.
Now listen, you know me, I speak for the people.
Yes, you're a man of the people. That's what we call you.
Well, no, he speaks for them, not a man of them.
Did they move your Bentley? They moved your Bentley.
It's a pickup.
It was
truck.
Parked out front.
With regard to an evening like tonight, where there's some weather that is a potential issue, can you take me through the process, and can you let those who may be here tonight know why you guys can't let them know earlier that the game is not happening?
Sure. So it's one of the
some people think you're just trying to collect beer money.
No, what we're trying to do is get in 162 games in 183 days or whatever it is, and it's probably the biggest challenge, operational challenge we have. And once you get into the season, the responsibility actually falls to Major League Baseball because of making sure that the integrity of the schedule is kept. So we try to get in every single game, because rescheduling games or postponing games, and we can talk about that in a minute, because
we have an
exciting announcement for tomorrow, actually, as it relates to the telethon.
Okay. Right.
But so we get together as a group. We consult with Major League Baseball. We consult with the other teams. We consult with the umpires. But typically in the summer months, storms, they come in and then they move out.
Yeah.
And we really got to try and do everything we can, because you do not want to end up with a situation where you have the Kansas City Royals or the Cleveland Indians or whoever flying back in to play a suspended game.
I'm just trying to help Lou Merlone. He had to work extra, an hour overtime the other night, and he was pissed off. So I'm trying to help Lou out.
I understand. The weather's the most frustrating part of this job, because there really is no good answer. You know, you're sort of at the mercy of the weather gods, and you do the best you can to get them in. And we're so fortunate, because, I mean, last night we had 37,700 people here. I mean, it's sellout.
I was here last night. I'm a diehard. You know me. As many games as I can go to, Sam.
We're very fortunate to have the fan support we have. And just on the suspended game issue, I think everyone knows, but tomorrow we're opening up the ballpark for free for kids 18 and under. Come on in and check out the suspended game.
That's awesome.
More as important, anyone over 18, please come in. Where we've asked we've required a $5 donation to the Jimmy Fund and the Nesson WEI Telethon, Radio Telethon.
Awesome.
So we've already sold about, I think, about 6,000 tickets, so another $30,000, and that will keep growing. But please help us get the word out. Come on down tomorrow. Kids come in free. Adults, $5 to the cause here. We've got our 50-50 raffle going on, which you heard about this morning. That'll be a significant contribution. John Henry, Tom Werner, and their partners will make a significant donation later tonight. It is just a privilege to be able to help out. And finally, I want to announce a small contribution on behalf of my wife, Amanda, for our friend Ben Crawford, who passed away from glioblastoma, $5,000 to the cause. So
thanks for having us.
We appreciate it.
That's fantastic. And that the remainder of that suspended game will be done in like 2.5 hours.
10 hours, but all the proceeds from the tickets will go to the Dana-Farber.
That's awesome. Well, the Red Sox support from the entire organization is incredible when it comes to the Jimmy Fund and to the Dana-Farber. So, Sam Kennedy, thanks for having us here, and thanks for everything that you guys do.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for everything you're doing today. All right. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Blank check for Mookie. Blank check for Mookie. Danielle, before we go.
Yes, just want to mention Kevin Kelly of Norwell donated $2,500 to the Radio Telethon this morning. So thank you very much, Kevin, for that generous donation.
All right, 877-738-1234 is the number to call to give, or you can just text KCANCER to 20222. We're approaching the $1.5 million mark, which is so extraordinary, and I can't thank you enough. This is... Hold on, Ken. You're gonna have to stop real quick. We're gonna have to run into Dale's program for a moment.
Uh oh.
Because Matt Light has called the program real quick. Can we get Matt on quick before we go? I don't want to eat Dale's time up. Maddie Light. Good morning.
Good morning, Hill Dog.
What's going on? I mean, we're kind of at the end of the show, and I don't want to eat Dale's time up. But I'm glad you called. Were you calling to donate?
Yeah, my apologies to Dale. You guys rock it every year, always doing amazing things. And look, I got 5,000 to add to what's been an incredible, just campaign. I mean, look, Jimmy Fund, everything that happens and what you guys do, it's incredible. Love being a part of it and doing it in memory of John Lyons.
John Lyons and $5,000. That's
awesome. Thank you, Maddie.
That's amazing, Maddie Light. And I know we were talking to both Jonathan and Robert earlier about the unique opportunity that you have as a professional athlete to get over and visit these patients and talk with them. And I know how important that has been to you during your time here.
Yeah, it's been incredible. I mean, from day one, I think the sports teams in Boston area and all of New England, they understand the importance of just being around some of these people that had to go through really tough times in their lives. And it's not always even for the patients. Sometimes it's for the parents and the people that you've had on and their stories and what they've been through and their attitudes. It just, if you can't be inspired by that, I mean, what can you, really hang your hat on in today's world when there's all the negativity and all that stuff? But man, keep doing what you guys do. I love listening to it. I love being a part of it. And, we're very blessed to be here in New England for sure.
All right, Mr. Light, thank you so much. I'm glad you got in under the under the buzzer here. So thanks, Maddie.
Yeah, thanks, Dale.
Dale, he said thank you. All right, guys, great work. Honestly, my first time doing this, Danielle.
It's amazing. Just incredible.
It's been an unbelievable experience. So we continue all day long. This is it. This is day number two of the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by the Arbella Insurance Group. Thank you for everything. We'll be back tomorrow morning.
Coming up next on Dale and Keefe, Terry Francona, Dave Dombrowski, and much more. You're listening to the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.